Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's bring in super friend of the show, Brian Anderson on the North Homestead Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram Hotline. BA, how are you?
You know what? I'm doing well, fellas. Another Friday rolls in and getting ready for some good football this weekend. And obviously the CBA talks picking up, another counter proposal by the players coming on Monday. So we're going to have an exciting three or four days ahead of us.
I'm sorry that you lost your deposit in Montreal. That's all I can say. With the news yesterday about Tampa, about the league telling Tampa, no, you're not splitting your season between Tampa and Montreal. What'd you think of that?
You know, I quite frankly was surprised that this proposal had the legs that it had. You know, this was something that the team came out, you know, Stu Sternberg is the owner of the Rays, and they came out a couple of years ago when things fell through with the Ybor City site here in Tampa, and they proposed this split city, sister city concept. And Major League Baseball actually got on board with it. And Rob Manfred and his henchmen said, hey, listen, we're behind you and we will support you as you do your investigation, as you do your due diligence and explore the possibility of this working. And they have been really walking with them in lockstep for the past 2 years. I was surprised it lasted that long, because just thinking as a former player, the thought of spring training in one site, start the regular season in another, then move to a different site. Oh, by the way, in a different country with family, with kids, where do I live, doctors, schooling, you know, all sorts of things come into your head and you're like, how is this ever going to work? I just don't see how this is an idea that's going to be able to come to fruition. And sure enough, you know, yesterday Major League Baseball came out and put the kibosh on it. And I think it really threw some people off here in town as far as, the Rays go, upper management and, quite frankly, ownership, that it got kiboshed like it did, because, you know, I felt that they felt that Major League Baseball was behind them, supporting them. And that's kind of how it's been the last couple of years. And then all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out from under their feet and now they're back to square one. And so we'll see where it goes from here.
Brian, Andy and I have kicked this around a little bit. I think such a concept could actually work. I don't like the idea of Florida and Canada, but I think municipalities are going to tell pro sports teams and leagues to go pound salt when it comes to, we need a new billion-dollar stadium. Oh, yeah, great, good. Go find one somewhere else. Eventually, that's going to happen. It's kind of happening in Tampa. You know, you're still playing in the Dome. Could you see that working where two, three teams or cities share a team because they don't want to spend all that money on a facility, so they have existing facilities that are okay, and they make up some revenue by selling a lot of tickets because it's a unique thing in that market at that time?
You know, you're going to have to sit me down in a room somewhere and convince me. Now, I'm not talking about you, Phelpsy, but I'm talking about just in general, and convince me how that's going to work, because you know what that does? It takes the fans out of the equation. And I know this. If I'm a fan of a team, and, okay, the Browns, we're going to play our first eight games, you know, four on the road, four at home at First Energy, and then we're going to go to another city. You're going to lose your fan. People aren't going to care that much. You know, you do that enough, and it's like, why am I emotionally investing, you know, why am I investing real money? Why am I doing this for this team that's here half a year? And then what? They get to play the back end at the other place when there's a stretch run and you're in Montreal and or wherever it may be. And that's those are the meaningful September games. And I think that that is a way to really distance yourself from two separate fan bases. Who's going to get that invested in a team that's only there half the time? I mean, it would be difficult for me as a fan to get into a team who's giving you, I don't want to say half effort, but they're giving you a half season. I don't know if I could get into that. And I don't know how many people – I know people down around here, you know, the Rays already have had trouble, you know, bringing people to Tropicana Field. I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. But you talk to the fan base. You talk to the people on the street, friends of mine that are huge baseball fans, and they're like, hey, look, this team pulls the Tampa-Montreal deal. We're done. We won't watch another game. We've got the package. We'll go somewhere else, where I'm from, wherever it may be. People want to be into the Rays, but they want them here full time. And I don't know how that was going to play here, and I don't know how that's going to play going forward with any other franchise.
I just think eventually, Brian, the cities are just going to quit building these incredible things. Now, privately funded things, that's a different story.
Well, you know, and Phelpsy, no, listen, I'm with you on that. It can't just be a handout to owners around the sports landscape that we need this to be competitive and we want this state-of-the-art facility and you guys are going to foot the bill. I agree with that. But there will be creative other ways to be able to do that. Owner kicks in more money. Maybe, like you said, privately held, you know, firms get involved and they do it that way. But yes, I absolutely think that the day and age of sticking a gun to the taxpayers' ribs is coming to an end. No question about it. But I still don't think that splitting seasons between a couple of different cities, I'd have to, like I said, you'd have to create one heck of a case for me to buy into that. Because I know as a fan, that would be a tough sell for me if my team, you know, was only there halftime.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, BA, I was wondering if the Richfield model was way ahead of its time. And I look at Atlanta, and I think about how Atlanta, you know, Olympic Stadium was, I don't know, how old was it, 10 years old by the time they moved out to the suburbs in Atlanta into the new ballpark? Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if teams start, you know, digging more into their research and just trying, like, we've heard the Indians say this. I mean, I wonder if the Indians would draw better if they were in the suburbs. And I always wonder, and I wonder if teams are going to start looking at it that way a little bit more. Like, not moving, just moving regionally rather than moving, you know, moving to where they know their fan base is, right?
Yeah.
Like, well,
and cheaper land, guys.
I mean, isn't that what Ybor City would have done for the Rays? And is there another spot that maybe the Rays would want to be in that's maybe halfway to Orlando that might help them draw more of a fan base?
Well, you know, think about this. When you start talking about how they draw, where teams draw their fans from, they always talk about the 30-mile radius. Okay, well, let's use Cleveland as an example. Well, to the north, you're not drawing anybody, okay? It's water. You know, so you're limited east, west, and south. And granted, Cleveland is a passionate sports fan base, and so they're going to support, they're going to show up. But you think about now Tampa. And if you look on a map, I won't describe it to you, it's way too difficult, but you look, see where Tropicana Field is, and then do a 30-mile radius of that. There's not a whole lot there to draw from. So for Tampa, they want that stadium up Ybor City, somewhere into Tampa that's close enough to Channelside and downtown where you would help get a very big walk-up crowd. But then guess what? You'd be pulling from Orlando. You'd be pulling from Lakeland. All the fans up there, they are not going to work their way down to St. Petersburg. By the way, the very bottom part of St. Petersburg to go to a game at Tropicana Field. You put it up there in Ybor City, somewhere up in Tampa proper, more towards I-4. Now it's a straight shot, 45 minutes, an hour tops, which, by the way, was the drive that we used to make from Geneva to get to Municipal Stadium to go to Indians games. And now all of a sudden, the fan base that you're able to draw from has increased times 10. And now all of a sudden you've got a chance. State-of-the-art facility. Listen, the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's hockey in Florida, and they have no problem putting in 18, 20,000 every single home game. I went to my first Tampa Bay Lightning game about a month and a half ago. What an event. I mean, what an outstanding sporting event. So the people, the support, it's there. It's just tougher to get in St. Pete. And to your question, Yes, I think that land is a little bit cheaper further away. It's not as hectic to get to. Some of these downtowns can be, you know, very cumbersome as far as traffic goes, and you get something that's a little bit further away from town, draws from, you know, a bigger base, is closer to a highway or a byway, and uh-oh, boy, all of a sudden you've hit the mother lode.
What'd that brisket turn out like?
Listen, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. 17 pounds. It took from the time it was on the smoker for 16 hours on the nose, pulled off, let it rest for an hour and a half. So all in all, 17 and a half hours, started to cut into this thing. It was unbelievable. I took a couple of handheld bites while I was cutting into it. And then we finished it. And then I stepped back and I said, company, here it is. The star of the show is ready to go. Let's line up and get your stuff done. Now, this group, and I think you feel like this about most house parties that you throw. If you invite 30 people, you hope that 15, 18 show up, maybe 20.
Right.
Well, three person plus a couple showed up to this party.
Wow.
And yes, I mean, we had at least five or six more people that were completely unaccounted for, that were over what we thought. We were thinking 15 to 18 people. It was at least 25. So I stood back and I said, I'm not going to touch that brisket until everybody that is here as a guest has had their plate. So I mingled, I talked, I moved around, all of these different things. I settled. I went into the kitchen, not a bite left.
Oh, no.
No, not one.
Oh.
I didn't complain, and no one knew. No one knew I got nothing because, again, I mingled around. But if it wasn't for the two bites that I took as I was cutting it, I would have never known. But I will tell you this, it was off the chart, and I think for doing a project that big for the first time, I don't know if Matt and I, the guy that helped me out with it, could have really done much better. It was absolutely fantastic. But like I said, outside of two little hand bites, that's all I got.
So I want to get this straight because I'm friends with the guy who is the self-proclaimed corned beef king of Cleveland. And he said that there's a place in Tampa that is like has the best – it's Wagyu beef, right? That's how you say it?
Yeah Wagyu. Yep.
Okay, and there's a place in Tampa that has the best, like – the best of the best. Is that where you got this at? Was that your inspiration?
I would think so. It's called, I mean, the place that we got that I bought the brisket from is called the Heights Meat Market. And they have, I mean, they have.
Well, I lived right next to that growing up on Taylor in Cleveland Heights, man. It was right next to my house.
Yeah. I don't think that's the same thing.
Oh, bummer.
I don't think that's the same thing. But yes, it is. It's an unbelievable place. You can get, you know, alligator, camel patties, which I've never had. They say it tastes like a little bit wilder version of a turkey burger. Okay, fine. I'll take your word for it. Not that interested. But they have all sorts of stuff. You know, they've got fillets, A5 Wagyu, like the creme de la creme. And then they've just got regular steaks. It's a place is amazing. Their rubs are amazing. But, yeah, I came across it. It was a Snake River Farms 17.6-pound Wagyu brisket, and they go up. I mean, I've seen briskets up there, you know, 26, 28 pounds. I mean, gigantic guy. But yeah, it's an undertaking, and it takes a good investment of time. And it turned out absolutely fabulous. And hopefully, one day we'll get to do it again. And this time, I'll get a plateful of it.
I want a plateful of it next time. BA, thank you for your time. We're up against it. Thank you, bud.
All right, boys. Take care. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football.
You too.
Thanks,
all right,
Brian.
Brian Anderson, super friend of the show, color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays, and talking about that split move and playing regionally.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.